Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Sunday Skate with Scott McLaughlin, Andrew Razor Raycroft, and Bridget Prue on WEEI.
Hobson ahead to Palmieri. He scores! Well, Palmieri scores again. Pajot back to Palmieri. Pollock closes, a kick save, and Palmieri has a national hat trick in 12 minutes and 19 seconds. Unmitigated disaster, a 5-1 loss on the island.
Jack's right, unmitigated disaster for the Bruins Saturday night. This is Sunday Skate with Andrew Razor Raycroft and Bridget Prue. I'm
they
Scott
finally
McLaughlin.
Got my name on there.
I love it. Now we have a show.
We do, yeah.
Now we have a show.
Bridget's on there. Look, we got on track before the Bruins did. So at some point, I think we're going to do a Sunday Skate after a win. Maybe.
Remains to be seen.
So last night, obviously a complete no-show. 5-1 loss to the Islanders. And normally, you know, if games like that don't happen too often, I can write them off. Every team has stinkers throughout the season. But where the Bruins are right now, it just adds to my concern level, because it's the third one of these like absolute no-shows that they've had since the All-Star break. You add in the blown leads, the inability to close out games. They're now 4-4-5 since the All-Star break. You thought they were finally starting to build some positive momentum on Thursday when they beat Vegas in regulation, and that game wasn't pretty, and we can get into that as we go through the show today. But they got the win. That's what was most important. And then they followed up with that Saturday night against the Islanders.
Scott was already fired up. Even with the win, he was yeah. Grumpy the next day.
Listen, I was the negative one on the show
last week.
I can't say I've seen anything in the past week that's made me feel any better. Razor, you're usually the optimist. Are you still feeling okay?
Yeah, of course. I mean, why wouldn't, like, again, just quit? Like, I get that. I think this is like the funniest thing. Like, burn it down. Like, oh, what's the point? Again,
for the record, I'm not there.
The Colorado Avalanche lost 5-1. I would assume if I took a poll of all Bruins fans, they would think that the Colorado Avalanche were amazing. The Vancouver Canucks are 4-5-1 in their last 10 games. They have the second most points. The Dallas Stars are 4-3-3 in their last 10 games. The Colorado Avalanche, like I just mentioned, are 5-4-1 in their last 10 games. And the Las Vegas Golden Knights, who everyone thinks is amazing because they have Bruce Cassidy as a coach, is 3-6-1 in his last 10 games. These are all playoff teams that are under 500 in their last 10 games or right around 500 in the last 10 games. The Bruins, 3-2-5 in their last 10 games. So, sandwiched in between the way the Florida Panthers are playing, the Maple Leafs are playing at 9-1, the Rangers 8-1-1. Yeah, it would feel much better if they were doing that. But they're struggling. They have their top two defensemen out of the lineup, the Boston Bruins. I think it's very obvious that Hampus Lindholm helps this hockey team. Can we all, like, not rip on Hampus Lindholm when he comes back for the next 3 weeks? Because it's very obvious that the Bruins need him. and he's a very good hockey player. I think we can see that now. I hope everyone can see that now. And the reality is this is why it's a problem. But this is also why I'm not going to go full panic concern, is because the Bruins' best players haven't been very good. That's what it comes down to. You go through Marchand, Pasternak, Coyle, DeBrusk, Zacha. They're not scoring. And the power play is not good. Like, you go through those five guys, they're not getting points. They haven't scored consistently. It's been for 12 games now. That's why they're not winning. I don't think that is going to continue for another 20 games plus seven in the playoffs. I just don't think they're going to be cold and not be able to get going offensively for 27 games. So it's a bad stretch. Last night's game was horrible, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and you don't know how long they're going to be missing Zacha now, right? He goes down, and Montgomery postgame didn't have any update on what could be happening with him, how long he might be out. He already had gone quiet. He's somebody that I would say it was over the stretch of the last, 10 games, I guess you could say, hadn't been producing the way that he has in the past. And you start to see the injuries cropping up maybe a little bit, and we're less than a week away from the trade deadline. So some injuries always impact the trade deadline. You never know what that's going to, how long he's going to be out, how that's going to affect it when Lindholm is coming back. And they also said Brazeau is banged up, Grizzlick's banged up. They're going through some adversity right now for sure.
Yeah. And that's the fascinating part of this, is the trade deadline is on Friday. So whatever answers Don Sweeney thinks his team needs, or whatever changes he thinks they need, he doesn't have, if Lindholm's not back this week or if Zacha misses some time, like, Don Sweeney isn't going to have the luxury of, well, let's sit back and let it play out and see if these guys get going over the next couple weeks. He needs to make those decisions now. And Razor, you mentioned all those forwards who have gone quiet. To that point, Jake DeBrusk, one goal in the last 14 games. Brad Marchand, one in the last 11. Pavel Zacha, zero in the last 11. James Van Riemsdyk, zero in the last seven. Does that top six need an upgrade? And if it does, how do you even get it? Obviously, someone has to come off the active roster, but I've gone back and forth on what's a bigger need: forward defense. Reality is they could probably use an upgrade in both areas. They might only be able to get one. I think Hampus Lindholm coming back on defense at some point, whether it's this week, next week, whenever, will help. I'm really worried about the forward group. It's just too many guys who have gone quiet for too long. And whether it's a legitimate top six guy, which would be ideal, or a third liner, I think this team, if they're going to be a contender, and we can get into the conversation of whether they're even going to be a contender, because I think there's a lot of Bruins fans ready to throw in the towel. As negative as I've been, I'm not quite there yet. But I think they're going to need another scorer, and I don't know how they get it. I don't know if they can just afford to bank on all these guys stepping up who aren't getting it done right now. I don't know. It's going to be tough.
It's extremely tough. There's not as many scorers out there as there are kind of big defensemen. And the big reason for all of that, and especially for everyone, is how you get them. It's certainly going to be a 3 or 4 team trade, dealing with draft picks and capital and holding cap and retaining numbers. It would be convoluted, because that's just where the Bruins are. Now, listen, that's the same for all the other teams who are all $20,000 under the cap that are doing these deals. And that's why you see the Dallas Stars essentially get Tanev for no dollars. They didn't have to pay him. So you have to make deals like that. You have to give up random fourth round picks to do it. And it will be interesting. But you could put me on that side of the ledger, saying that they need another guy up front to score. And maybe it is just a score. Maybe you don't need the sandpaper up front that people have talked about, and the aggressiveness that they need. Maybe they just need a guy who can rip pucks in the net.
Yeah, that's where I've been for a few weeks now. Just middle six forward, preferably second liner. Probably, like, you're probably not going to find a first line. We already talked about how few assets the Bruins have to give up in the first place. So we were trying to get creative when we were thinking of what they could possibly do because they don't have a whole lot to give up, right? And talking about maybe trade Forbert for a second round draft pick, if you could, or like a, you know, for a draft pick, turn the draft pick into package that with someone else, DeBrusque maybe, or and we brought up Ullmark again, which I want to get your opinion on, something that we talked about with him, but it's going to have to take a creative move for them to get an actual impact forward. In the market that the way that it is right now. And the only two like currently on the roster players that seem to have any value to people would be DeBrusque and Ullmark and potentially one of the defensemen if you trade them to someone that's in the playoff hunt and want like a big shot blocking defenseman like Forbert or something like that, which you had mentioned before that most teams would want someone like that. And we saw Labushkin go to Toronto and fetch a middle round pick. So
yeah, I mean, if Ilya Labushkin's worth a third round pick, I would think Forbert's worth something similar. But obviously that takes, you know, another team being willing to do that. Toronto knew Labushkin from before, which to me makes it even more bizarre that they wanted to give up a third round pick for him, because I'm not a fan of his. But I have some creative ideas I want to get to as we go on this morning. But I think that the first question we have to answer just to start is, what level of investment is this team even worth? Like, should you be giving up assets to...
See, he's laughing at you.
To quote-unquote go... Maybe not all in like last year, but give up assets to invest in this team making a run versus maybe just let it ride out. You are limited asset-wise. You're limited cap-wise. That would be the easiest path to go, is just say, look, we knew this was going to have to be a reset year to some extent. We've done the best we can. We just let it ride. We see what happens. And then we use all the cap space we have in the summer, and we retool then, and that's when we really make the aggressive push to load up for next year. Would that be acceptable, or should Don Sweeney still be investing in this year's team and giving up assets to do it?
So I'm laughing because I know it's not you. I know that's like a narrative. Somehow that's like
I blame Scott.
No, it's not a Scott narrative. It's, you didn't make that up. I've heard it. Like everybody, that's like the narrative. And it's so odd to me. It's just like, this is it's pro sports. It's National Hockey League. You think guys are like these teams and these organizations and the owners and the GMs and the presidents and the players and the trainers and are showing up to the rink saying, you know what, it's just a retool. Like, let's just get through the next 20 games. We don't really need to try out here every day. We don't need to really think about what's going on tomorrow. Let's just kind of cruise. Let's just try and get through these next 20 games and
we'll roll the dice.
We'll load up with all this cap money we have, and we'll be so much better next year. And then we'll be the contending team. Even though, don't forget, guys, don't look at the standings, though, because we have 84 points. We're only 2 points out of the top spot in the entire National Hockey League. But let's just kind of cruise to the end. There's no point of investing in us. There's no point of trying the rest of the next 20 games. Let's, you know, we'll get our playoff games, and then we'll bow out. Like, people, Don Sweeney doesn't think like that, right? Like, you're in pro hockey, you're in pro sports, you don't think like that. So you're trying to make your team better every single minute that you're awake, and then every single day that you show up, you're trying to do better and be better. And so the idea that, listen, it might have to be that way, in that you can't, I think they're not getting rid of everybody to go all in on this. They can't, they just can't. They don't have the first round pick that might be important to somebody. They're not giving up Patra, Lysell, Lowry. They're good prospects that they think are going to be National Hockey League players, and they don't have the money to do it. So it might be something that it does kind of look like they're standing pat, but it's not because the a lack of someone being on the phone and trying to be on the phone and trying to make deals and trying to make their team better, or players trying to make themselves better. It's just the business of the league. And because, again, I think it's really scary to say you're going to punt being an 84-point team with 20 games left to next season, because you don't know what next season presents. And the injuries and the salary cap, yeah, they have lots of money, but so does everybody else. Are you going to overpay? I can't wait till we overpay for people. Oh, that's going to be great next year. When somebody's on an 8-year deal for $8 million instead of $5 million, we just blast them for all the money they spend on the salary cap, right? Like, you have to go for this right now. You have to go for it. They're not going to sell the farm. They're not going to be crazy about it, because they can't. But they need to invest in this team. Absolutely, they need to invest in this team. Whether it's 2% and rather than the 40% they invested last year, they have to do it.
Yeah, and I lean towards just looking at the history of the way Don Sweeney has handled trade deadlines, that he's more likely to do a big move, which by that I mean like include a DeBrusk or an Allmark or in a package, and you know, something that comes together that we might not necessarily see coming right now, but you know, what he's working on. I think it's much more likely he does something big than doesn't do anything at all, or just adds like a fourth line tough guy.
Well, look at Lindholm. It's more likely. Look at the deal he made for Lindholm.
Exactly, and we didn't know that.
Very similar type situation, like a way much worse situation where the Bruins, where they were locked in like eighth place at that time when he made that deal.
The craziest part of the Hampus Lindholm trade is they gained cap space when they made that trade.
Exactly. That was an incredible deal that does not get enough love. Certainly doesn't get enough love for.
And like the Taylor Hall deal. Like he's able to find players that they, because of their no trade clauses,
they only want to come here.
They only want to come to a certain spot, and that gives you the ability to trade with not as much value. You trade out not as much value to get in someone like Taylor Hall. And you know, there are those deals to be made. Maybe you're dealing with another GM who doesn't quite get it the same way you do, or you know, they're in a different situation. They're not thinking about it the same way that we're thinking about it, or seeing it from a contender side of it, with what their goal is in rebuilding or whatever it is that they're trying to do. So sometimes it's in the player's own hands who wants to come here, and that can help your situation. You might save a little bit of, you know, maybe you don't have to send an extra pick or something like that to get who you want.
And along those lines, we thought maybe Noah Hanifin would be one of those players who tries to angle his way to Boston, his hometown. Elliot Friedman on Saturday night said that there's rumblings that Hanifin's preferred destination is Tampa Bay. So that would throw a wrench into those plans. Lots more trade talk we can get to. Last night, how the Bruins are playing. What should they do at the deadline? How aggressive should Don Sweeney be? We're going to get to all of that and more. You can give us a call, 617-779-7937. Text us at 37937. Bridget has you trending, and we'll be back after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to Sunday Skate on WEEI.
Charlie, what was your favorite thing as from a team aspect of last game? I know you kind of let them back in for a bit, but obviously held on and got the win.
That we won in regulation.
Okay, yes, true.
Okay. It was just, you know, a little bit needed to see that again, just for the group overall and for our mentality moving forward, and things when something doesn't happen for a while, you need to see it happen again so you can believe that you can still do it. So it was good, and you know, this team knows how to play and we know how to win. And hopefully that can, you know, we can really string together some good 60-minute efforts now.
Well, they didn't do that.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
That didn't happen.
They did not string together good 60-minute efforts. In fact, that was just about a zero-minute effort Saturday night. So we've been breaking it down. Bruins continue to struggle with an absolute no-show against the Islanders. Trade deadline now 6 days away. Let's go to the phones. Let's take Maria from Watertown here. She's got some thoughts on the Bruins right now. Maria, what do you got?
I'm just baffled. To me, there seems to be some type of a disconnect that has been building over a period of time. I find it difficult to understand the stark contrast in the play of this team from the start of the season, the rough patch that they hit in December. They got themselves out of it in January to some degree, and now here we are in February where they seem like a lifeless, unemotional roster of players. And I have to wonder if there is something that is not resonating either between the players themselves, between the coaches themselves. Just something seems to be a bit off or broken. And, you know, Razor, I want to ask you, as a former goalie now, by his own admission, Jim Montgomery said that Linus Ullmark was left out to dry, hung out to dry last night. What harm would it have done to pull Linus, if not to send a message to the rest of the team in an effort to even try to spark a little bit of emotion in that game? Because to me, the only players that had any emotion in that game last night were Mark McLaughlin, Geeky, and Lacko. And so I'm more concerned about not the fact that, you know, they're losing games, but it's how they're losing games and the inability to battle through this. So those are my concerns, my thoughts for today. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks a lot, Bridget. Maria. But Bridget mentioned it in her trending, but Mark McLaughlin was maybe the only positive, or certainly one of them. First game of the season, first goal of the season. So big night for the McLaughlins, big night for Billerica.
What makes this a big night for you?
Huh? I had a great night on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Wow. All right. Did you go viral or something? Like, what?
No,
did you have really good popcorn? I don't know.
I was arguing with people who want to sell and fold up shop for the season, which we also have some of those texts. So we'll get into some of that. But let's start with Maria's comments, Razor. I guess we'll start with the goalie. Should Montgomery have maybe pulled all marks to try to shake things up, wake the team up?
No, that wasn't last night. They weren't waking up with a goalie pull last night. I think the coaches knew that. And that 3-0, when it happens that quickly, it's just, you know, Linus did a great job. He made some huge saves to not let it get out of hand in the first and second period. You let him grind that out and get through the third period without giving up any goals and just kind of making it a kind of a bad loss rather than an absolutely horrible night, and then dealing with the having to chat with the goalie after today, you know, oh, we pulled you because of that, you know, no. It was just better to keep him in and have him grind it and fight it, and he did all that really well. So I would add him into the three guys that Maria mentioned that played really well last night, because I thought Linus hung tough.
Yeah, and they have a back-to-back coming up Monday and Tuesday, so keep everyone on their regular rest. Don't mess with that. Like, I didn't have an issue with that.
Yeah.
How about Maria's other point about, is there something going on in the locker room with messages not sinking in or not registering with guys? Because, you know, that we do keep hearing, I think, the right things and the same things over and over again, whether it was the blown leads, how they want to play more aggressively, they want to control the puck, they want to push it, they want to extend leads. Well, they haven't been able to do that. They talk about some of these slow starts and, you know, finding a way to win with your B game. But then last night, they don't find their A, B, C, or D game.
I was going to say, what was that at? Like, F. Yeah. we're down.
That's
it's,
the
it's
bottom.
The, it's the F minus, like the yeah. Patriots got for their treatment yeah. of players' families this week.
F minus. What a that's a bad grade.
Yeah,
that's a bad grade. It's no, that's a big stretch. It's a big stretch to go that far after
to
say that there's locker room issues or a disconnect between everybody. I think this team, we talked about the culture and the people, etc., for years, and I don't think that is the case. I'm just gonna go back to like the you just said. No goal, one goal in 14, no goals in 11, one goal in 14 from three, four of your top offensive players. So, and all these games are one goal games except for last night. So you get a little bit of offensive production the last 3 weeks from your core players that you expect to have offensive contributions that we saw in January. Like that's where it starts and ends, really. On top of the fact, again, your defense doesn't look the same. When you don't have Grizzly and Lindholm in there, and especially Lindholm, it doesn't look the same. So I'm going to wait until everything, you know, let the dust settle a little bit here before we start attacking the way the room is being dealt with.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen any hints that there's really anything underlying going on. I mean, we go and we talk to the guys and the attitude doesn't really seem to have shifted too much over through the winning and the losing. Like, you don't really notice people getting super pouty or anything like that. I don't think that's the issue. I feel like maybe she was more asking about the buy-in. Like, are they actually buying all the way into the way that Montgomery wants them to play right now? And that's why you're not seeing the results and not seeing the net front defense that you want or the transition defense that you want. Like, maybe there's just a lack of buy-in at the highest level to some of those fundamental things defensively that bit them against the Islanders.
Yeah, and we mentioned, you know, offensive guys going quiet. The team defense, Razor, you're right to highlight that. I think it's now 11 straight games.
Yep.
They've allowed three or more goals.
It is.
Which we haven't seen a stretch like that in years, in a long time around here. Not since the pre-Bruce Cassidy era, honestly. So Hampus Lindholm being out obviously is a factor there, and I think you're right to point out that, you know, maybe people should have a little bit more of an appreciation for Hampus Lindholm, who, even though offensively he wasn't producing the way he was last year, defensively was still really solid, and the Bruins were just about doubling up opponents and goals when he was on the ice at 5-on-5. This season, he had one of the best 5-on-5 goal differentials of any defenseman in the NHL. Like, that matters. That makes a huge difference. But I can't let them off the hook and just chalk it up to, well, they're missing Hampus Lindholm. Because some of these breakdowns, some of the just leaving guys open at the net front, poor back checks, poor transition defense, where guys are finding soft spots certainly on odd man rushes, but even on like 3-on-3 rushes, there was a chance last night, and it wasn't even one of their goals, where the Bruins had four guys back, and I forget who the Islanders player was, still found an open spot in the slot and was like all by himself. And it was just like, how is stuff like that happening? I also think, even though last night wasn't on Ullmark, I don't think goaltending's been especially great recently. Ullmark's lost five straight starts, whether regulation or overtime, and I think has like an .875 save percentage. So feels like, you know, what was supposed to be the strength of the team and was the strength of the team at times early this season, it has really hit a tough stretch here.
Has to be better. Certainly has to be better. I think, you know, again, you rattled off the Lindholm stuff. So you have to. What, so they're up to six games without Lindholm, right?
Yeah.
Like, they did a tough road trip without him. So, again, that starts to add up. It really does. When you have a guy out, you can manage for one or two games that you don't really look at the stats or the numbers. But after six games, you can start finding patterns, and you start finding a little bit more in that Again, I know, I get it. Derek Forbert isn't Bobby Orr. I get it, everybody. I really do. But not having him in the lineup a couple days, and realistically even last night because of just the way he gets put back, you know, he's going to take a little bit of time to get back going again. He's just a big body. So not having him and Lindholm for basically six games is going to hurt your defensive metrics. It just, like, there's no getting around that. It will. I think we're also seeing a little bit of the Patrice Bergeron factor creep in. Now that things are getting a little tougher, that center position has been so key. The David Krejci, even for that matter, at this time of year, everything gets a little tougher, a little bit smaller out on the ice, a little bit faster, a little bit harder to play. And you don't have those two experienced guys up the middle that were able to snuff plays out, you know, even if it's one a period, each of them, right? That adds up as well. So I know, you know, there's no point of going there because 37's not coming it back through that door, folks. But I think we'll start missing that a little bit, and you're starting to see that a little bit where he had the ability to recognize when things weren't going great, to have that great defensive game that he just decided to play defense and not allow anyone to do anything, and they would have that 2-0 win or that 3-1 win where he was just fantastic on the backside of hockey. And that might not be there right now, especially when Coyle and Zach are struggling offensively. That confidence to play defense isn't there as well.
I was going to say, so then who does that leave to have to step up and do something like that? And I feel like Charlie Coyle is the obvious answer, just because his defensive style is, you know, he's great defensively and on the PK, 5-on-5. But we haven't seen that same level of confidence in his game recently that Bergeron would have, really, in the face of any adversity. It's kind of at the point, guys, where it's what's it going to take to get them back on track, right? It's not just going to be one person. And we talk about Bergeron not being there. Well, what's Marchand's role in turning things around? Because now he's the one that people are looking to, and he's the one who has to speak to the players after games like that, or in between periods in a game like that where you come out so flat in the first. And he did give a message about how the emotional, like, there was no emotion in that game. And that's one of those things. It's, you know, can you teach people that? Like, you kind of just have to feel the moment. And I guess that's more of a question for Razor. Like, on a game, on a night where the emotion isn't there for a majority of the team, like, what does that come down to? Like, what's the difference between being able to, like, lift yourself up for a game like that, especially when you're trying to pile wins back onto each other and get back on track? How come there's sometimes you don't see that emotion?
You know, when you wake up in the morning, you don't really feel that good on days, and you're
like
really
illness,
tired, or
fatigue.
Your kids are all sick and you have to grind and get to work in the morning. It's just human nature. And listen, you can't overstate, I think, kind of where you're at in the season the Islanders have to win that game. Absolutely playoff game. They wake up Saturday morning and they're in beds. They get to the rink. They have to win. They have no chance not to win this game and stay pat with the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're 5-6 points out of a playoff spot. So they're the most desperate team in the league. So you have that. You have trade deadline. You guys are getting asked. And this is maybe the first time in a while where it's important players being asked questions like Jake DeBrusk. So you have that kind of lingering around this team right now. There literally is millions of kids that are sick right now in Boston. I would assume there's some of that going around the room on a certain level. So you have all of these things go to why you don't have energy. It's pretty simple. It's just literally life things. Like, you wake up and some days you're in the NHL, but you don't really feel like playing a hockey game.
I think it's also interesting too that, like, when you were listing off the top teams like Dallas, Colorado, Boston, and how they're not playing their best hockey right now, that's because they're getting everyone that's desperate's best hockey.
Correct.
Right now. Like, so there are teams with much more desperation, which obviously you'd like to see the Bruins play with that kind of desperation too, but in the reality, they're not playing for their season today when other teams are, because they're playing to convince their GMs to buy and not sell, or that they can get back in the race and make that final push to be a playoff team or in a wild card spot. So they're playing much more desperate hockey than Boston and some of those other top teams. And I'm sure that mentally that factors into the kind of effort that they're going to bring. And you have to be able to match it even though you're not in that same spot.
Yeah, I think that's something the Bruins have struggled with for a while. Like they do seem to have a bit of a habit of playing down to competition, up to competition. But they've also had some really bad periods against teams like themselves that are firmly in the playoffs. You know, whether it's been the third period or on Thursday against Vegas, it was the second period where you have a 3-0 lead and you just completely open the door for Vegas to get back in it. So maybe none of their 60-minute stinkers have come against other playoff teams, but they've had plenty of bad stretches in those games too. And, you know, on the energy part, I can hear my mind immediately goes to, and I can hear fans saying, well, then you got to go out and get another energy guy. Like, what? Who are the guys in this lineup that can create something on a shift-to-shift basis to try to get the team going when they're quiet? And, you know, Brad Marchand has always been a drag his teammates into the fight guy. You can't do it every night, though, and, you know, you have to figure out how to get him scoring again. Never mind, you know, him worrying about getting up to some of his old antics to, you know, ratchet up the emotion or whatever. So someone else does have to be able to bring that. And, I mean, we heard Jacob Lauko talk about that this week. He said the coaches told him, you know, they want more energy and intensity from him. I think we've seen that at times from him since he got back into the lineup. Maybe still not quite consistently. So for me, it sort of comes back to there's all these things that this team needs that they're not going to be able to address all of it before Friday at the trade deadline. So you're going to have to pick and choose, you know, if you do anything, you're going to have to figure out exactly what it is you're looking for. You know, both Cam Neely and Don Sweeney spoke this past week, and we're going to play Sweeney's audio from Nesson at some point. But they both highlighted snarl, physicality as an area to target. And I think, you know, when you get that unified message from your general manager and president, pretty clear indication of what they're thinking. They don't think there's enough of that in this room on this roster right now.
It's hard to put energy on just one guy, right, or two guys. It really is an entire team thing. And sure, you could bring someone in that might help that. I think getting through the deadline is going to help that, just period. And that's why you always see teams that make moves and deals like the Bruins last year. You get a bump from that. You get energy. You get excited for the playoff run finally coming. And now you have your actual team when you get there in the morning. On Saturday morning, you're going to sit there and say, all right, fellas, this is us. That's going to happen. That meeting's going to happen. That we're the team now. This is all of us. It's on us now. Let's get going. Let's crank and let's focus on the playoffs. Remember Brad Marchand last season? He had one goal in 20 games over the end of January through February, or through end of February through March, and then into April. That one, and technically it was like two goals in the last 25 games. And then he played really well in the playoffs. So Brad's an older guy. Might be in a little bit of perseverance mode, or a little bit of let's get through this stretch. I know how hard it is. I know what's coming before us. I still know what we have to do. And so again, you can, some of these guys can unscore right now, and you don't have to completely hit the panic button. Of course, last year it didn't matter because they won every single game. It was like, you just look at this game log, it's just bananas last season through February and March and April. But it has happened to Brad, and he deserves the benefit of the doubt to find his way through it, I suppose. That's what I'm trying to say.
All right, we got another break here. Sunday Skate, Scott McLaughlin, Andrew Razor Raycroft, Bridget Prue. We're talking deadline. We're talking what the Bruins need. How much are they worth investing in? You can call in with your thoughts, 617-779-7937. Text us 37937. There are some texts that we'll get to.
Some of these are great.
Yeah, we'll get to those coming up after this break.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back to Sunday Skate on WEEI.
All right, two-part question here. Biggest area of need, in your opinion, for this team, and Donnie, has this recent little bit of a tough stretch changed anything in your estimation as you watch your team play?
No, I don't think it's changed anything. We've always, you know, put forth that we want to be a highly competitive team. You know, there's a physical part of the game that I think we're lacking at times. I think when we get dragged in or drag ourselves in, we respond appropriately throughout our lineup. But, you know, can we start that and survive through that is an area that, you know, Cam referenced the other day and that maybe we'd like to try and address. Not easy this time of the year. It's always difficult. But it's something we'd like to do to find some areas that areas of need, as I referenced, that we've tried to use our depth throughout the organization, and a lot of guys have done a tremendous job in that regard, but we may have to look to the outside if it's possible.
Bruins general manager Don Sweeney on Nesson pregame on Thursday. Razor's buddy Billy Jaffe making an appearance here. But
this isn't morning brew. What is that?
That's right.
But yeah, so we've been talking about that, about what the Bruins need to do, even can do before Friday's deadline. And we have some texts here, and Bridge, I know there's a couple you want to pick out, but I'm telling you, people are, like, at least the ones texting me, really are down. People who were tweeting at me last night, like, the sky is legitimately falling for some Bruins fans right now.
I want to know, are you guys okay? Are you guys who texted in okay? Because the most recent one is the one that's most concerning to me. But I'm going to get to that one last because these other ones set this up. So this one came in about a half hour ago. Sell now. Rebuild starts now. And then the one right before that was, I'm out on the bees. They are dog poo. I had to censor that. Didn't even blink and it was 2-0 against the Islanders. They aren't going to win anything. Time to blow it up. And then the most recent one, that's my new favorite, is all excuses for Marchand. He needs to go. So Marchand's out. Okay, guys, that's the fix that we've all been waiting for. No more Marchand solves everything, right, Razor?
Yep.
Is it sports gambling that has done this to people? Like, is it like so personal to everyone that because of that, because they put their $5, like it has gotten more personal. Is it fair to say that?
Or yeah, because is it just if you're gambling on a certain player and they don't score that game, it's like
they
lost
you $10 directly went to you and took $10 out of your wallet. Yeah. Like that is, I think there's some of it that. I think obviously the forums that we all have to voice our opinions are so much readily at our disposal. But again, I think you hear Don and you hear guys that have to run the teams out, you know, not on Twitter or not on DraftKings, and it's a different vibe. And the other thing too. Yeah, and this is why Boston sports is amazing, and this is why Boston sports fans are the best on the planet, is because they're so laser-focused on their own teams. They have no idea what's going on around the league a lot of the times or what else is happening, and it's a great thing, but you hear it with all of the four major teams that are here, the amount of perspective that's actually like compared to like, do they know what selling actually means? Have they watched the Arizona Coyotes have they watched the San Jose Sharks hockey game this
blow
season?
Blow it up tends to mean, okay, next 10 years may not be very fun to watch that. Like TD Garden's not going to sell out. If you're blowing
the Anaheim dot, like go watch what's going on in Chicago right now. So I get it. That's not necessary for Bruins fans to do, but that's where,
and you're going to get some Bruins fans that go, oh yeah, but we could get Bedard then. Like, we could get a Bedard. Like, that would be fun. Yeah,
exactly.
They're going to start slacking from Macklin in March.
Yeah.
You know what? Scott, you would probably be for that just because of your own BU.
Absolutely.
He's like, I don't want to blow it up unless it's for Macklin. Yeah.
But I also think another thing that's happened, though, with Boston fans, and especially with Bruins fans, is I think we've, like, collectively completely lost sight of the idea that in hockey especially, if you get in, you have a chance.
Yes.
We see this every year. We see team goalie gets hot or they stay healthy and their opponent has an injury. Like, it happens every year where the team that, you know, looks the best doesn't win a series. Team that was struggling going into the playoffs or looks incomplete goes on a run. So that's, like, beyond just where they are in the standings and the fact that they're going to make the playoffs, that's why, like, you don't sell. Like, at the very least, you stand pat or you do sort of the shake up or retool on the fly where maybe you sell off a couple pieces, but then you're using those assets to bring in someone else. You're filling those spots. You're not just accumulating assets for the draft or whatever. Like, you're not doing that because imagine if you did that. Say, you know, all right, you trade away Linus Ullmark for draft pick and a prospect. You get a second-round pick for Jake DeBrusk, a fourth for Derek Forbert. Okay, and then you just fill those with young kids you call up. Jeremy Swayman gets hot in the first round, you win a round. Second round comes down to depth, and now you don't have any. Like, that's why you can't do that.
That's a great scenario. I haven't mapped that scenario out. Can you imagine the text line then? What that would look like if they didn't have enough players because they traded them all for draft picks, but they're in the second round against the Florida Panthers again. That would be...
Yeah, and it's Fabian Lysell playing in your middle six.
And they lose in game seven in the second round. Why, dude, if we had Forbert, we would have won that series. That's a great scenario, too.
The text line is already...
That's my favorite scenario. Yeah, I'm using that one. I'm stealing that one for you. That's my favorite one. I didn't think of that.
This texter has a great idea on how you could get back some assets, and that is trade Brad Marchand. So, but he can bring back a lot.
So we got some other guys, some other texts here.
Pick up Kuznetsov cheap on waivers.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. First of all, not cheap. You have to take on his entire cap.
Yeah.
7.8 million or whatever. But yeah, I think everyone's staying far away from Evgeny Kuznetsov. I'm fine if the Bruins, you know, do end up moving a DeBrusk, Forbert, Grizzly, even a Linus Ullmark, if you're reinvesting that into the team and using it to fill other areas or potentially, you know, now combine assets to add, upgrade, whatever, like, that I'm totally okay with. Or even if it's just moving out pending free agents, bringing someone back with term, like, that I would be okay with, but the number of people I've seen and on Twitter last night and now these techs who are legitimately just throwing in the towel in the season and, like, ready to sell and recoup assets for next year is, like, I just can't believe people think that way. Like, even as negative as I am on this team right now, and yeah, if the playoffs started right now today, I'd probably pick them to lose in the first round. But that doesn't mean they can't go on a run. Like, that we just have seen too many examples of this, of teams that, you know, look flawed, don't have all the pieces, but a goalie gets hot, and, like, that's all it takes. It's wild to just punt on that.
And they have goalies that could easily do that.
Yeah. And it just happened a year. It just happened 10 months ago at this point now to the best team that was your team in the NHL history getting, like, it's just literally, it's so recent that you can't even get away from the recent biasy, because it literally happened to you 10 months ago. No one at this time last season thought the Florida Panthers would go to the finals. Nobody.
No.
Not in a million years. They said Bobrovsky stinks. Alex Lyon stinks. Their team's flawed. They won't even get in the playoffs. And they went on the run. So,
they backed into the playoffs.
It literally has happened every single year for 6 years in the National Hockey. It happens every year, no question. It'll happen this year, too. You can absolutely guarantee it.
Yeah. St. Louis had to battle just to get in. That wasn't a complete, you know, loaded roster top to bottom. You know, the magic was going to wear off for Jordan Binnington at some point. Really didn't. Like, I've seen the Kings win a Stanley Cup as an 8 seed. It's just get in. Like, just give yourself a chance. And the Bruins are going to be in. Like, yeah. It would have to take an all-time collapse for them to miss.
No, we can't do that. No. We can't do that. Please don't do that. They're in. Yes, they are in.
They're inviting those calls.
18 points. Someone will call in and say they could miss the playoffs. No, please. Yeah. Let's not do that.
All right. We got to catch another break here. Hour two of Sunday Skate coming up. We're with you till 11 a.m. Andrew Razor-Raycroft, Bridget Prue. I'm Scott McLaughlin. Call in 617-779-7937. We'll be back right after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.